and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet. Today, the writer of this letter to the Hebrews is talking about life, real life. And today we get an up-close and personal glimpse of what the Christian life really looks like. It's all here: sin, faith, training, testing, and also our Lord Jesus. To communicate what this all looks like, the writer brings up this image of a long-distance run. The idea is that we Christians are running a race, but we are not alone. We see this great image of a cloud of witnesses representing the spectator who have run successful races in ages past. We are to be encouraged that a strong race is not only possible, but assured when we make sure that we keep the main thing the main thing. Of course, this race is just a metaphor for the life of a Christian, one that begins with the Spirit first, clearing the path for a faith in our Lord Jesus, and ending with passage into His mighty presence. This is a race worth running. But what we sometimes forget is that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Believers are continually called to work in different areas of the vineyard as their capabilities allow. But what gets in the way sometimes is our lack of training. And this should come as no surprise, just as it would be really ridiculous for any but a very, very few of us to get up right now and without any training survive a marathon. We cannot be expected to be ready and willing for work in the coming kingdom of God without perseverance, without endurance won through attention to the basics of the faith. How many times we have heard Christians step away from service because they've already done that, or they're tired, or they haven't done something before and they really don't want to learn about it. Try being a ministry leader for any length of time, and you will not have to wait long to hear these words and more. This letter to the Hebrews provides a sharp shot to the responses of the weary. Christians everywhere are asked, "Where is your gaze? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." We are asked to listen to the testimony of the cloud of witnesses before us. Jesus Himself has gone before us. Remember the gospel accounts. Jesus has laid aside His own family ties, His own feelings, and in fact His very sonship was laid aside for us. How can we not move full force towards Him as He has done for us? Now, following Jesus, we will find more than just a role model. We, keeping our eyes firmly upon Him, are given the complete strength to accomplish what God has planned for His kingdom. We turn to our Lord day by day, month by month, year by year, continually coming to this well of living water for our race. Faith is absolutely essential for a spiritual journey, the spiritual journey we are called to complete. And for the most part, we do have faith, don't we? But perhaps our attention is misdirected. Perhaps what Christians need isn't a huge shot of faith, although how can that possibly hurt? Perhaps what we need is an understanding of the opposition and hardship in the Christian life. Friends, these things are simply the stock and trade of the Christian life that is actively engaged in pointing others to Christ, one of the missions of the church. Now, this flips some Christians out, doesn't it? But why is this so? Why is this so? What else are we supposed to be doing in between clinging to our Lord Jesus with our faith and the end of our life on this world? Nowhere does Scripture talk about the easy life. Jesus says, go into the world, making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded. I can't imagine Peter holding up his hands and saying, hold on there, Jesus. I've been on this road with you for 3 years. I'm going to break off and go to Cancun for a while. It's just not there. I've looked. Now look, while we do make light of that, there is something to it. Stepping out of our comfort zones, actually engaging someone in need, having some kind of conversation that communicates what God is doing in your life, should be recognized as the normative Christian life lived out in service. This will feel uncomfortable the first few times. But for crying out loud, what doesn't? These feelings are to be born for Christ and His message of love for the world. These are to be considered privileges sent by the Father to bless Christians by giving them an opportunity to work in the vineyard. We make a faith conversation into a sign of God's displeasure with us when it's the greatest gift in the world. God's children get to spread His mighty message of love for all people. And look what we turn that into. Burden, uncertainty, lifelessness, something to run from. The writer reminds us that all children need reproof and direction. Training. Training is important in order to bear with dignity the trials and disappointments of other people's choices to turn from God. But we are to expect this. There is a certain element of hurt in this work God has given us. But we know as believers that hurt is not the final word. Resurrection is. The harvest of God for His kingdom, His glory. The hard work, the suffering, the pain of the Christian life is not merely by chance. Paul tells the Romans that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character produces hope. Even James tells the church that perseverance must finish its work so that you may not be lacking in maturity. How silly. How silly it seems now to observe our behaviors in the light of our mission to spread the gospel. We focus on our misery instead of the glory of doing God's work. And so what to do? Are we without instruction? Hardly. The Hebrews are told first to strengthen their feeble arms and weak knees. We are to get our own house in order first. Straighten out what we view as the troubles of the Christian life by fixing our gaze upon our Lord Jesus. You see, it's only in knowing how to go to our Lord that we have anything to communicate to somebody else. Is there confusion about how this is done? Come to Bible study. We rehearse the practicalities of Scripture every Sunday morning. We learn what the early church did to prepare themselves for the work of the kingdom. And second, we are to be very careful of the example we show others. A parish is a family, my friends. When we refuse the needs of the parish, we give others permission to do the same thing, and we hobble ourselves. Are we happy with our example to each other and to the world? That must be answered by each individual here. Fortunately, with God, all things are possible. Today's message is certainly a challenging one, a pointed one, but it is not steeped in despair. It's set up within this image of a race in front of others who have already completed the same hardships we face right now. We are not alone. We are not without help. Our Lord God comes to us. He calls us into His vineyard, and He also provides every possible thing we need to move forward. We have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, available to us, available for our ministries. But so often Christians, they don't act like it. For the moment, all training seems painful, says the writer, rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Nothing comes for free, and we should not expect it to. Scripture invites us strongly to submit, to be strengthened by the love of our Lord Jesus. There are peoples whose lives are in the balance. Let us accept our training, our call, with the joy that our Lord God offers us through a race well run in Jesus.